So whose song was that, Rod?
I think it was from the Carter family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who's the Carter family? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not a little bit country. That was fun. I was actually hoping it was Hank Williams, and I was going to brag a little and go, oh, his birthday's on Tuesday.
Really?
I bet you wonder why I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You should have been here yesterday. We had some romping good time. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the senior minister of this glorious community, and I'm very happy to be here today. I'm talking about something relevant. I'm presenting a message this morning that it's a takeaway. You can take something home today, so be open to it. Are you ready to receive? All right, there's going to be something here for you if you're ready to receive, and I know that you're all here for at least something little to take home. So here's what I want to remind you. Something in the universe, something somewhere in this great big vast universe, some great magnificent creative power is ready, is waiting to deliver to you megatons of good. An inexhaustible supply of good. Something is waiting to shower blessings on you that are just overflowing. Are you ready to receive? All right, that's what I wanted to hear. So here's a great quote from the founder of this teaching, Dr. Ernest Holmes said, "Principle is without limit." Now remember, when we speak about principle, we're speaking about this aspect of God that is the law. There's this very legalistic side to spirituality, to sort of the mathematical movement and formulas of living this life in a spiritual way. So there's love and there's law. Principle is without limit. It is ready to fill everything because it is infinite. It's got a lot to give. It is not a question of its willingness nor its ability. It is entirely a question of our own receptivity. All right, I feel a little hot. Mic is hot. Am I just hearing myself, or is it loud for you too? Is it too loud?
No.
All right, so we have mixed reviews, but I heard more no's than yeses, so. Okay. So what we're talking about here today is about our receptivity to good. This is a real personal journey. It's going to be a real highly individualized course this morning. We're talking about a formula that involves readiness. It involves resilience, and ultimately we are speaking of that spiritual aspect of receptivity, or our willingness to receive our good. We are created for that. Each and every one of us, we are created to be willing to receive the goodness of life. We could not sustain our physical being if we weren't willing to receive the goodness of life. And so because we are created that way, we are designed to actively participate in our own well-being. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I only heard one big loud yes there. The rest of you are shuddering in your shoes, aren't you? So, you know, this is one of those talks where I'm going to be really frank, and I do not intend for you to go home feeling like I have scolded you or I'm pointing a finger at you if you don't have as much good in your life as you desire. What I aim to do today is to remind you that it's here, and that if you can't figure it out today, you can come back tomorrow, because it is ever flowing. It is a constant flow of goodness, and that's the way life is designed. So we're created in that way. And you know what? We're a little different than any other of Spirit's creations. So if I look at the animal kingdom, if I look at the birds and I look at the insects and the reptiles and even our domesticated pets, you know, that we love so much, what I could say is that all of the of life in that realm, I'm going to just sum it up as the animal kingdom, even though we're a part of it, I want to show that there's a slight difference. Because in the animal kingdom, there is this distinct instinct for survival, right? So there's this need to reproduce, to protect oneself, and all those things that happen, and join together with others to create things. Look at a beehive or an anthill. And we begin to understand that there's this connection in life that is always sort of speaking to us. And we as human beings have an instinct to survive as well. But more than instinct, we are given this gorgeous gift of divine intuition. See, that's where we have this something really special, because in that divine intuition, we have been given the capability to appreciate, to be grateful for things, to appreciate simple things like joy, to appreciate the abundant nature of life, to appreciate beauty, and to appreciate even pleasure. And so I know that some of you would argue, including my husband probably, you know, we have the cutest little dog that we haven't had even a year yet, so we're still in that honeymoon phase, though she is starting to do some things I knew she would eventually do. Dang it. So I'm saying no more right there. but you know what I'm talking about if you have pets. There are certain habits that prefer happen other than in the house. But what I think the point of argument is that I swear sometimes she smiles. This is where my husband will argue with me. She smiles at us. I can tell when she's happy. I can tell when she's content, right? So there are some things that our domesticated pets will demonstrate to us. But I want to remind you that I think we also personify. We are so good at personifying. I mean, for goodness sake, we have personified the Almighty God, right? We've made an image of God in our minds that looks like us, that lives outside of us. And God is really so much more than that. And I love that about our teaching. We're always calling back to that memory that there is no place, absolutely no place, where that infinite intelligence doesn't exist and is active at all times. So we project our own feelings on our pets, and then it's not surprising, really. They live with us that they pick up some of our habits. Oh, boy, that one was, I'm going to move quickly right past that one. Thank you. I wasn't going to say it. So in that same way of naming things in the way that we personify, we also name things good or bad and, you know, dark or light, but we name things enough or not enough. And that's the part I want to take a moment to look at. You know, what makes us unique from the animal kingdom is that we have this glorious ability to sometimes actually look beyond the physical ideas of good and bad or dark and light and enough or not enough. And so we have this opportunity to know with that big capital K-N-O-W. You know, that knowing that is that divine wisdom we intuit, that we talk about. I like to call it oneing. It's that moment of oneness, that moment where we recognize there's no separation between that which I call God and my physical being. The Yayas, I took home a CD in the Yayas that's been playing in my car, and there's this line that says, a cup of the ocean is the ocean. right? And so there's this way we know that, but it's not the intellectual knowing. It's not the same as how we know things because we can Google them and we can get smart and we can, or sometimes I feel really stupid when I Google because there is just so much more I want to know still. And isn't it true that sometimes the more you know, then you realize that, oh boy, not only is there so much I don't know, but the things I thought I used to know don't fit anymore because now I have a new foundation of knowing more. So we as human beings have this great gift to ponder and to contemplate and to process and to then apply this wisdom in our living. Now, I want to remind you that we also, as human beings, are born with this gift of resilience. That's the other part. We're talking about readiness, but we're talking about resilience. And I think both of those terms are really strong words of substance, really good talk material, especially because we're always talking, you know, every Sunday we're talking about successful living. We're talking about this whole teaching, this whole spiritual philosophy and way of life is really about successful living. Because as we apply spiritual principles in our lives change. We're renewed. We're transforming our lives all the time. So we are incredibly resilient. We are adaptable when we want to be. Because the funny thing is, it's like, this is very true, but it's like the best kept secret. We spend our lives living those experiences to prove what we think we know, and sometimes when we gather too much of that kind of knowledge, instead of getting wise, we just get set in our ways, and we get sort of protective so that we don't hurt ourselves in relationships or whatever. So it's important to remember every so often that we are equipped, you know, it's the divine given gift of being a human, that we have the ability to recover from difficult situations. And I think that some of us are truly more flexible than others, but in general, it takes a lot to break the human spirit. And even after a break, we seem to be able to recover. It's the craziest thing. You live long enough, you begin to realize that those are the gifts of the challenges we've had. So I think sometimes adversity sharpens us. You know, it makes us makes us more determined. We're gonna, you know, participate and choose and succeed in those things in life that are important to us. So readiness, I think the point that I want to make this morning is that readiness will now depend on our willingness to participate. What does it mean to be ready? You know, I get up and I get ready for my day. So do you. On Mondays, I get ready for my week. On all week long, I get ready for Sunday. Right? So there's a certain way we understand readiness, but that's not the kind of readiness that I'm speaking to. I would like to stretch you a little bit this morning by saying, how do you think about how you want to answer this question? How do you get ready for opportunities? How do you get ready for adventure? How do we get ready for greater possibilities in our life? See, if you're ready to receive, then I would add that to that list. Be ready for greater opportunities and greater possibilities and the kind of adventure that suits you in your living. How do we get ready to receive our good? How do you get ready for something new? Because sometimes, you know, the point is that before we can get ready, we have to release something old, or perhaps in a part of that readiness, we let go of something that isn't serving us or something that is holding us back and limiting us in some way. I think that's what Jesus was trying to say in that parable about the wineskins. So there's this parable in the New Testament that refers to Jesus is having one of those complicated situations with the disciples. You know, they've got him cornered yet again, and they are going, but Lord, why, what do you mean we don't have to fast? But it's the law. What do you mean? And Jesus is trying to tell them, but there's a new way of looking at things. And so, because he always speaks in parables, he talks to them about, you don't put new wine in an old wineskin. Because if you put new wine that is still fermenting in something old that has gotten brittle, it will burst. And he says then that you lose both the wine and you lose the wineskin. So there's a lesson here. Jesus is saying that so the disciples are asking him this question, and he's saying you can't put new ideas in an old container. You know, so we got to reshape the whole container. That's what the spiritual path for me is about. It's about that, for me, I get this visual of like, as if you could see your consciousness. I mean, you kind of can, but if you could see the shape of it, it would be constantly changing. And then my advice is always make it bigger, because that's how we can receive greater and greater good in our experience. And I really think that's the whole point. And I think that's what the message of the whole wineskin story is. You know, I have such fun research. So you got to know that I really looked into what the wineskin is. They call them skin bags or bag. I have to look. Skin bottles. So it was only a wineskin if you put wine in it, I guess. But other than that, they call them skin bottles. And the very best of the skin bottles were made from the hide of animals, where they kept the entire hide in one piece. So that means that after they kill the animal, they don't slit the belly and pull everything out that way. They actually, I know this is a bit weird, but legs are all gone, and they cut off the head, and now they pull things out of it and turn it inside out. So they have one piece. I saw a picture of it. It's so fascinating. And then they tan the hide, and they have to tan it really good, because they're not just going to fill it with wine. They might put water in it, or milk, or cream, even butter. And here's the thing, they aren't little. They're the carcasses of sheep and goats. Biblically, they were sheep, they were goats, maybe even oxen. So imagine that they make it in such a way, I got this idea, they could throw it over one shoulder. I don't know why, where have I seen that? It seems so familiar to me. That's a lot of wine, Rod said. And so then they sew all the openings closed. They leave one opening. They choose the best opening to leave open, and that's where they get the liquid in and out. And they make a little, they tie it off so that it can be closed while they're throwing it over their shoulder and trekking through the wilderness or the desert. So when you use the wineskin or the hide that has been tanned and prepared for this purpose, over time, it will get hardened and brittle just from the use of it. Have you ever had brand new leather slippers, moccasins, and they're soft when you get them? And then you wear them, and over time, I remember I had this great pair of slippers Hugh bought me once. And over time, especially the bottom, because they were all leather, the bottom of them got so stiff and old and rugged from use, probably worn, that it cracked. Just like, wow, it was really odd to see that leather could get that hard, that it could split like that. Or they say, do you remember this? This is actually a true story. I Googled it once. But Eskimo women would chew on the husband's boots before he had to go out in the cold to soften the leather so that he could get his feet in it, because they would get frozen and hard overnight. Forget about it, honey. I am not chewing on no boots for nobody. Does not appeal to me. Rod, Kathy, are you telling Rod the same thing? Mm-hmm. I heard a little conversation going on here. So when they put the wine in a new, soft, pliable leather skin bottle, there's that fermentation process. So it's bubbly. It's got the gases are given off, and that bag needs to expand in order to give the wine the space it needs for that fermentation process. So new wine stretches the container by the natural process of becoming wine. And we, my friends, are always in the process of becoming, kind of like fine wine with age, hopefully, right? So we're always in that process of becoming, and so we want to always keep that idea of newness and freshness. As Jesus said, you can't, you're trying to put new ideas into old containers. So that's where we want to have a crisp awareness. Are we open to new ideas? Because I'm going to tell you something. You cannot receive your good if you are not open to newness. Because newness is sacred. It's like this holy birth of something that was only a glimmer of a thought that we pull into reality by practicing these principles. And therefore, we have this ability to be choosy about what we pull into our lives. And sometimes we have to let go of things to make room for the new. And you certainly, certainly are invited to let go of any old ideas that are limiting you in any way. So how resilient are you? Don't answer. But how resilient are you? And how resilient is your mind? Do you chew on new ideas so that you can stay flexible? I think the reality is that some of us would rather burst than change. We get set, and there are some things in our life we like just a certain way. And the very sad thing for me is that I notice that long list is getting even longer of things I like in a certain way. You know, in the living arrangements of you know, the day-to-day housekeeping, there are just things I like in a certain way. I hate admitting that, but it's like I get pickier. So an opportunity to rethink all of that, you know, just putting this material together, knowing I'm going to speak to you about it, allows me that space of questioning some of those habits. Are they really serving me, or am I just getting old and picky and brittle? You know, because you get bitter when you get too brittle. Nobody likes that. We don't even like ourselves when we're that way. So every day we change a little more. We come into deeper understandings. We continue to have that desire to live a meaningful life, and we have to let go of some old stuff so we can throw in some new information, because every day there's a little more new information for us to take in and to continue to change and reshape ourselves and our consciousnesses. I think a wise person is eager to develop a practice of readiness. There's a way we can learn. This is what this message is about today. A way we can learn to be more willing to receive greater and greater good. And that comes by our willingness to renew our minds. As we renew our minds, never forget, we are transforming our lives. So keep your mind supple. Chew on some new possibilities. I think that this was a painful thought. I'm not going to say it's a realization, but I had this troubling thought in preparing this message, and that is, I think we are more likely to be prepared for disaster than we are to be prepared for good. How many of you lived in California? I know we have a lot of transplants. So we know about earthquake preparedness, right? We were well skilled. Most of us lived through, you know, more than a couple earthquakes. And so we understand disaster preparedness. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, boy, we are right on the bandwagon. Nope, don't do this, and be sure you do that. And we can get so buried in being prepared for the disaster that we forget about the opposite of the disaster. What is the opposite of preparing for a disaster? I would say it's preparing for a blessing. Yeah, let's. How do we prepare for a blessing? Well, when I was creating my earthquake preparedness kit, what I see is there's a theme of stockpiling things. You want food, you want water, maybe fuel, tools, candles, ways to light those candles, right? So it's about stockpiling, and then I realized, you know, then if that's true, then being prepared for a blessing would have to be the opposite of stockpiling. Preparing for a blessing would be the other side of that. It would be being truly aware of the blessings that are already in your life, those gorgeous gifts from the divine that are already ours, and maybe even counting our blessings and seeing that they're prolific, that they overflow. And when we know that we have a prolific, overflowing amount of good, then we don't stockpile, we share. Yeah, then we can give out that joy and that happiness. If I'm overflowing with good, you better know if you come into my life while I'm having one of those days, you are going to leave with a little bit of that good, because I am not going to be able to keep it to myself. Right? So there's that contagion that happens when we allow the good to multiply. Are you ready to receive? And if you're ready to receive and you take it in and you count it and you love it and you give thanks for it and you're aware of it, it multiplies. That's what appreciation is. It's an increase. And then there's always enough to share. You see, in disaster preparedness, there's an underlying belief that this world is not a safe place to live in. I will not have that conversation with you, because I want to move my life, move through my experiences in a preparation for blessings, in joyous anticipation of what's there, because there is a lot of dark stuff to look at. Whew, I almost said a naughty word. There's a lot of dark stuff to look at. But if I focus, if I'm prepared, if I choose to participate in the blessings of my life, then that's what grows. And it particularly grows in my own awareness. And then I can function in my life at a higher level than if I'm worried about the disasters that may or may not come. So when I am coming from a preparedness of blessings, I have this gorgeous realization, though it comes and it goes, I admit it, but a gorgeous realization that the entire universe is conspiring to shower blessings upon me. And that means they fall all around me and the other people in my life too, right? Then we all benefit from that. An attitude of disaster preparedness makes me old and brittle and bitter, but an attitude of appreciating my blessings keeps me fresh and resilient. I have a quote for you from Dr. Ernest Holmes. He said, "For while it is true that we are immersed in an infinite intelligence, a mind that knows all things, it is also true that this intelligence can acquaint us with its ideas only as we are able and willing to receive them." Able and willing, those are good words to understand readiness, to remind ourselves. He goes on to say that he starts talking about this, the infinite divine mind, and the way that that infinite mind contains all the wisdom there is, all the wisdom there is, all the knowledge. But listen to this sentence. "But before it can reveal its secrets, it needs an outlet." Think about what that means. That infinite divine mind of God that is everywhere present, it needs an outlet. The divine mind is here waiting for us to open ourselves to be that outlet, to be to be supple, to be new, to be stretchable. Then we can be that outlet for God. We can be big for God, and we can allow all of that goodness to express through me. See, you can't have it if you're not willing to be it. That's right. All the goodness of the universe is looking for you right now. Think about it. What is the good you desire in your life right now? What do you desire? That new house? Energy? Vitality? Physical health? Money? All the good you desire is looking for you right now, inviting you to be that outlet. All the beauty of the entire universe is waiting for you to notice so you can be an outlet, an expression of that beauty, that joy. All of those natural God-given desires we feel. Imagine that. Are you ready to receive? Are you ready to receive?
Yes.
Of course you are. Hell yeah. And when you leave here today, now I'm not fooling around. I got my minister's cap on. I'm speaking this with great authority. When you leave here today, I want you to walk out that door, and when you get your feet safely planted on the ground, because people keep falling around here, do not fall. Get your feet planted on the ground and look up to that sky and expect that your good is headed your way even now. Be prepared. So I'll close with this fabulous final quote from Dr. Ernest Holmes. It's been a science of mind day today, hasn't it? Holmes says, as you open your consciousness to greater and greater receptivity of the divine, as you open your consciousness to an enlarged concept of the good that can flood your experience, life will take on a new and wonderful meaning. Let me hear a big amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Take a breath. Woo, and so it is. All right. So take a big, deep cleansing breath. We're going to pray on this. That iron is hot. That wineskin is supple. And we got something brewing. And so in this perfect moment, as I invite the practitioners and ministers to surround the room, in this perfect moment of recognizing individuals who are skilled at keeping the high watch, all of us just breathe together in this beautiful, perfect moment of recognizing there is only God, one mind, infinite intelligence, spirit itself right here in this very room. I feel the love of God within me, and I understand that there is a process of oneing, of becoming united with this great essence of the one mind. There is one mind. It is the mind of God, and that mind is my mind right now. And it is the mind of every individual sitting in this room. It is the mind of every person listening to the sound of this voice. It is ours for remembering, for recognizing, for being pliable so that we can open our hearts and our minds to greater and greater dimensions, that we might practice this art of receiving and owning this glorious truth. I feel the love of God within me, and it stirs. It's a quickening. knowing again that as there is no place that God is not, that that infinite intelligence, this newness of life that's creating and fermenting and expanding, it is this intelligence in our body, in every cell of our body, in every muscle and bone and organ. It is the way that we are renewed after an illness. It is the way we stand in this glorious truth of connection in relationship. Each of us standing next to another and yet oneing, feeling that connection, understanding that we live as a vital, vibrant part on this great web of life. So there's healing that is happening even now as we sit in this room together and speak these powerful words of prayer. There is healing. There is holing. Things are coming together in the wholeness and perfection of spiritual reality. And so we are renewed. We are transformed in our very living. We open ourselves to be recipients of this great good that is streaming and pouring into our lives. We allow ourselves to be that container, a new container that is pliable and resilient and ready to receive. So we just open ourselves and we allow Spirit itself to fill us with the grace of God, even now, knowing that our good is moving toward us, that there is nothing that can limit it or block it in any way, because these are powerful words. We stand in truth and we will not waver from knowing this great and mighty truth, even as we expand to greater and greater consciousness. And so I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for all of this good and for all that is yet to come. And in this great, gorgeous, magnificent spiritual community, alive with the movement of Spirit itself, I know that together we open ourselves to receive the financial good that sustains us and allows us to be generous in the programs that we desire to demonstrate to the world and to our community. How good it is to stand in truth. And so in a spirit of deep, deep gratitude, I simply release these words into that divine law, that principle that always responds, yes, my child, yes, I let it be. And together we say, and so it is. Amen. So there.